Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. We are back for a brand new season. Liverpool playing football, and there's going to be fans in the ground, and everything's fine, and we've got centre-halves, and great. And I've got people in the studio with me as well. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by John Machin and by Sam Walker as well for this one. Gents. Yes. Sam, I'll start with you. How's the optimism? You've struggled a little bit this summer, mate.
Yeah. Do you know what, Woody? This is kind of like it now. I don't know where I've been with it all. It feels like a bit of a weird
dream. You've been
dream.
In a dark place.
It's been in a dark place. So the fact that we're here in the studio speaking to you and John, and it's just talking about the game and cricket like we do at times, you know, it's just fun, and it's starting to become real now. We were talking about tomorrow's kickoff, and it's like, oh, actually, this is football. Like, last year we were football, so this is football, and Liverpool do proper football. We don't do lockdown football, really. So I'm excited just to see it all start to become normal again.
I know, but now that's it, isn't it? Isn't it that it feels like exactly that? We were saying the season starts tomorrow. It's real, and but it is actually real. It's not this mad version that we had last year where you're just so removed and detached. You know, I got me little appetite wetter at the weekend in the pre-season games, you know, and being in the ground. I know we're another week away from being back at Anfield, but it just feels properly tangible because it is tangible this time around.
Yeah, it feels like a new beginning to me. I mean, last season, I've sort of written it off in my mind. I don't think of it as a season. No. I think of it as a little nightmare in between us winning things. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is a great side with a great manager, and we've lost a year.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I just have this sense that we're going to make up for that.
Yeah, you know? No, I completely agree with that. And that's a thing where there's a degree to which, and we'll talk a bit about the selection later on and what have you, Dad, but have the fact that like Virgil and Gomez are back in contention, it feels almost exactly like you could just chop last season away because we're still in the Champions League. All of the players who we had, with the exception obviously of Wijnaldum, whatever, are there. It does feel like, yes, everyone's a year older, but it's not, it could be tons worse.
Yeah, I mean, I had this flash in one of the preseason games when Williams and Tsimikas sort of didn't quite get it right and we conceded the goal, and I had a flashback to last season, you know, when we had defenders who didn't know each other playing every week.
Yeah.
And I suddenly had that flashback, and then I thought, no, but, you know, we've now got more or less everyone ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, sadly, we've lost Robbo for a few games. And, you know, you'd have to be a little bit careful about Virgil and Gomez, I think. But they're there, they're training, they've started playing pre-season. You know, everyone's had a really good pre-season camp. You know, I'm so excited for that, for all that.
No, it was the moment, you talked about the defensive stuff, but Sam, it was in the fixtures of the day when Gomez is playing centre-half and they were pinging balls behind him, and I had a flashback to all of last season when that was our biggest weakness. We were just kicking it behind our defence and I was having no pace. And then Gomez just turned round and just casually accelerated past whoever he was challenging and gathered it. And I was like, oh God, yeah, this isn't last season. We're not going to necessarily have Gomez and Van Dijk up to speed, but we're likely to have them at some point before too long.
Yeah, and let's be honest, you know, the conversations we were having 2-3 weeks ago, we probably didn't even think we'd see as much of those two as we actually have. It's kind of accelerated quite quickly, hasn't it? 100%. And even Konate comes into that question as well. Yeah. The ball goes through and he's just marauding back towards goal, saying, calm down. And he gets it, dribbles past the two or three players and plays a nice pass. But that's the standard we're used to, aren't we? Matip does that all the time. Gomez and Van Dijk are on another planet with their pace. And I just think it changes the confidence in our team. You can see the crowd. Like, that ball goes, there's not a big gasp of air in the crowd. Everyone just aware of what we're about and how we deal with these situations. And it all just, like, it all just, for me, equals to calm.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, starting hopefully this weekend, we can, we'll be interested to see who does play and where the, and who does come on as well, actually, to see how that sort of pans out for the weeks following. But for me, I'm ready to sort of fall in love again with football. Not just Liverpool. I've always loved Liverpool, but to fall in love with football and even enjoy other games, which I haven't done.
There's definitely great. I find this in, I find general sport better because of fans being in there. Mm. Like, I know a lot of people love the Olympics, and it is what it is. It didn't vibe with me because I like being told, I like feeling the story, and the audience gives you the story of what it is you're seeing. That's that energy, that passion. You can passively watch things with a crowd better, and that's the point. You know, you say watching football in general, it's going to be on the telly. I'm still going to watch other teams on the telly, same as last year, but having the audience back makes a big difference. And the thing that I think is really sort of encouraging, and I just stick with you on this, Sam, because again, to go from the summer dark place referring to transfers, do you think the fact that we basically put out two pretty strong teams and on two different days, two completely different 11s, made you feel more generally relaxed about where Liverpool are at squad wise?
I think the issue is with it is that we in pre-season, because of the international tournaments, you never really see the full extent of your squad until about now. I'm right to say that. Usually the last game at Anfield, we have a big welcome to all the fans back. So it's a sort of a rude awakening to those who have been hating. And yeah, we all probably think there's one or two things we could do maybe. But when you put it down on paper and you see some of the players we've got and how sharp and fit they look, i.e. the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Keita, who are going to give Klopp headaches this weekend, then you do actually realise the depth of quality that we've got. Yeah. I think a lot of us, and as a fan base, are just a bit scarred from last year. And I think that's fine, because that's what we're supposed to be as fans. So seeing those two teams... And actually, I thought the second game would be more difficult than the first game, but it turned out the opposite way around. We absolutely hammered Osasuna, really. Mm-hmm. Could have scored 6 or 7. So I think it just showed the quality. And seeing some of these young players like Kate Gordon and Elliot and even Curtis Jones play the way they do, with the confidence they do, it does show you how bulked up our squad is when everybody's available.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with Sam's point there, Dad. I think we'd all be a bit, we'd be happy with a couple, one or two more additions, without a doubt. I think the reality is, I think seeing Liverpool's, the strength of Liverpool's squad, but also I think seeing the shitstorm at Barcelona has probably made everyone feel a bit more relaxed, generally speaking, about it, because Barcelona are a perfect example of what happens when you just unchecked spend money that you don't have. But also, as I said to our point earlier, the squad will contend regardless.
Yeah, Barcelona aren't owned by a country. That's their problem.
Yes, and it's our problem too.
Well, it's a problem for us in that the fans look at City and Chelsea spending 100 million on players and are thinking, come on, compete.
Yeah.
And they think we have to compete in the same way.
Yeah.
And we're not built like that, sadly, And to be honest, I'd rather we were like we are than we were owned by Saudi Arabia, I think I'm much more comfortable with what we've got. And, no owners are going to be perfect, because obviously they're all businessmen and entrepreneurs, and they're all probably bastards.
Because, you don't become a billionaire by being a lovely bastards, human being. Yeah.
But, apart from that, we've got a good squad, and we've invested probably a year late in a centre-back, but we've done it.
Yeah.
And we've got younger people coming through, like Curtis Jones. We've got the likes of Ox, who, if he actually gets back to his best form, will add immeasurably to that side. We've got Keita, if they can actually get him firing, will act when he's actually on form. He's a terrific player.
Yeah.
But of course, there's a big question mark over both of them, and I understand that. So that's why people are, they really want us to bring in players to replace those.
I'm feeling generally quite relaxed about the whole thing, because I think the next 3 weeks or two and a bit weeks or whatever until the transfer window shuts is going to be mayhem, and not in a good way. Because we're seeing it now, there's rumours that we're going to accept a lower bid than we want for Jadon Shaqiri because I think they just want to get him moved on. I think he wants to move on and Liverpool want to facilitate that. The point is, I think when he moves, I think I'm right in saying that actually does then, I think that would leave us with a slot open, I think, in terms of being able to register a non-homegrown
Klopp
player.
Klopp has said that he can't buy until some people move on, which is a really big hint. Yeah. That we need Shaqiri to move on and maybe a couple of others.
And look, as you look around Europe at the minute, there's talk that PSG needs to ship 10. Man City need to do a similar sort of thing. Barcelona are looking to do this. The teams that have gone and done what need, Man United the same, the teams that have gone and done the business first need to now go and get that. And that's not going to sort them out fine. But of course, when you for some teams who are mega rich, who's asked? Yeah. Like Chelsea have been taking bats on 50 million players for 15 years, 20 years. Like if it doesn't work out, who's asked? We'll go and get another one. We've never been able to do that. And I would like to see us, you know, before it becomes a fire sale, it would be nice if Liverpool could actually, you know, get done what needs to be done. And I think I'm feeling reasonably relaxed about the whole thing. Because I said, I think even if we didn't make another signing, I don't see how Grealish and or Kane is not going to make City. They can't get more points than they got when we were challenging them. Like maybe one more point or two more points.
What they've done is they've sort of ensured that they stay at that level.
Yeah,
they've not improved because it's almost impossible to improve what they've got. You can't improve on Aguero, can you? For God's sake,
no.
And David Silva, David Villa.
Oh, so Silva, yeah.
So, you know, what they're doing is they're just making sure they stay at that level and they keep the pace.
Yeah.
And our problem, of course, is that we're not able to just do that.
Yeah.
We have to be a bit more circumspect and we have to manage things a lot better.
And as you say, there's nothing wrong with dreaming and hoping that Liverpool could be in a situation where you've got somebody who can just spend bottoms, because we always say, I would, if I was Liverpool owner and I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be asked. I'd be spending money at Liverpool. I wouldn't be asked if it made me money or not. I'd be throwing money at it. That's the dream, you know, to have someone like that, but who's not an arsehole. And by the way, that doesn't include me because I am. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I'd be a dickhead too if I was.
I said the other day, I think of Thiago and Jota as new signings. I don't really feel as though they've been part of the club.
And I wonder whether there's a difference in split, because there's people who only ever consume Liverpool via the laptops and via the tellies and all that. And you're right, for most people, and that's probably the vast majority of people who support Liverpool because of the nature, the size of the fan base. So that's fine, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you go to the games, and this is the one limited difference, major difference in this, is you're right, that detachment from what we've just seen this last year. I mean, Jota got a score in front of Liverpool fans, you know, at the weekend. Like, for 40, the most Liverpool fans he's ever scored in front of, and he did it after being a Liverpool player for a year.
You've got four lads there, Tsimikas, Konate, Jota and Thiago, who have never played a competitive game in front of a crowd at Anfield. Yeah. So if we're sitting here...
Proper crowd anyway.
Yeah, 10K. Full crowd, full atmosphere, the build-up. Yeah. Now, if we're saying football the last year was just, you know, like almost like World War II football, where it was just, it didn't really count. It's totally different to everyone else. Obviously, other clubs might not agree with that, but that's our standpoint. We've got four players there who are coming into a 99-point team, which is, I still think we are. We've got four players coming into that, and that's not taking into account anything that does happen in the next few weeks. So we do have a better squad. The idea we didn't improve last season was stupid. Yeah. We did. We brought in two brilliant players, three good players.
We finished third with the sixth and seventh choice centre-halves.
Exactly.
Like, it's insane. And, you know, that might
our
be
a major centre-mid playing centre back most of the time.
That's the one thing about me is I don't know, and no one knows, by the way, so this can be taken one way or the other, how good Liverpool are, because we haven't seen the best Liverpool in over a year. And that's because last season our best 11, in fact, for me, just to talk this through, best 11 for me is Alisson, Trent, Robbo, fullbacks, Van Dijk, and let's say Gomez or Matip, whichever you want, take your pick. Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, and then the front three, the old school front three with Firmino in there. That is our best 11 until proven otherwise. They did not play a single minute of football together last year.
No.
So I've got no idea how good we can be, because our best team didn't get
together. What we don't know is, has this great side aged?
Yeah.
Or have they started to dip down the other side? And if they are dipping down the other side, is Thiago and Jota enough to keep them to back up there? And we don't know that, and we won't know that till they start playing. But I mean, I'm fairly hopeful when I looked at them, certainly when I looked at the last couple of pre-season games, that, you know, the likes of Bobby Firmino, I've still got a great amount to contribute to what we're us
the,
going
for. The last 10 games of the season is the closest barometer I think we've got for what this is going to be like. And we still played that with Nat Phillips. And Nat Phillips occasion, a bit of Kabak and Williams at centre-half for us there. And no Jordan Henderson. And no Jota for a lot of that as well in the back end of the season. So, and Firmino came good. And Mane came good at the back, and then Salah continued to be Salah. So I think, you know, I think we'll be largely fine. Hey, right, we had a super chat from Ashley Frith. It says, welcome back, boys. Missed the season. Come on, the Reds. Do you think we're signing Doku? No idea, mate. Genuinely no idea. Well, I'll be talking to Neil Jones on Thursday lunchtime about 1 o'clock. I'm live here on the YouTube channel. I will ask him about Jeremy Doku and see if there's any updates on that. So stay tuned for that. Right, we're going to be talking about what Jürgen does and the selection headaches. Who's going to be in the midfield three? Who's going to be the centre-back pairing? Who's going to start up front? Some massive, brilliant, interesting questions. We have got a very short break between now and then. Now we've got a trivia question before we go. First trivia question of the season. Three Spanish former Liverpool Academy players have also played for Norwich City. Name them. See you in a sec. Hey, yes, welcome back to the build-up. Yeah, that was a slightly lengthier advert break than normal because it is a brand new stop sponsor and we wanted to make sure we explain the game because, and you got to watch me learn how to do it live. There you go. That was good fun, but I'm really looking forward to playing Ultimate Fan this season. If you played along on Redmen Picks last year, it's actually run by the same people, so your account, if you don't have to create a new account, if you've already got a Redmen Picks account, you can just log into the app using your same details. It's completely free to play. You can enter into that prize pool as well. But again, if you want to add the subscription thing on top and get more guarantee more goal players, etc., then you can do that. But it is, as I say, completely free to play. I'm going to be doing it all this season, so get involved. It's really, really good fun. I was just talking the lads through it then. So yeah, get involved. Ultimate Fan, the link is pinned in the live comments, it's in the description underneath. Yeah, get involved. Right, yes, the footy. Dad Jürgen has got a major selection headache, but the good kind.
You're not going to tell us who the trivia quiz was? No,
thanks, mate.
Because I got one right, didn't I? That's why I want you to tell.
You got them all right. So the question, thank you, before the break, I know it's been a while. Three Spanish former Liverpool Academy players also play for Norwich. Name them.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So this is
Sergio Canos was the one. Yeah,
Sergio Canos,
Pacheco,
Danny Pacheco,
and Ayala,
Daniel Ayala.
Yeah,
well done,
Ayala. John. Good teamwork.
Well done, fantastic play. If you got all that, give yourselves a massive pat on the back. It bodes well for the new season, I think. All I'll say.
What have we got rid of all our Spanish players?
None of them were good enough to play for us. Sergio Canos might come back and haunt us this season. I'll try and refrain from that. Right, yes, sound. Selection headaches, Dad. We've got four centre halves to choose from. We've got like seven centre mids to choose from.
Four injury prone centre halves. No, three injury prone centre halves and a new lad.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's his biggest problem, because he's going to have to take his lead from the medics and the science people on whether Van Dijk and Gomez are ready.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that they would be, myself. But when he played 70 minutes, Van Dijk, and he looked okay. He didn't look like the best centre back in the world, which is what he is when he's properly moving. So I don't know. I wouldn't surprise me if they played Matip and Konaté, to be honest.
I think we've been gearing up towards that, but equally, they haven't played together now for a bit. Mm. You know, we've seen them split. So we've seen, you know, Matip and Van Dijk playing. We've seen Gomez and Konaté have been the ones playing alongside each other. Matip looks like Joel Matip. He looks perfect. And I think there's definitely a mindset that's like, it's Joel Matip, so he's going to have some spell on the sidelines.
Well, you've got to play him early while he's fit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
I think it's Matip plus one, which is bizarre, isn't it? Because he's always been Van Dijk plus one.
Yeah.
I don't think Gomez starts. I think we'll probably bring him back in with a combination of maybe some centre half minutes and even just to cover Trent for 10 minutes at the end, right back. Probably got more chance of that if we're winning games.
You know, Klopp said you don't want to change your centre backs in mid game.
Okay.
Because it's obviously very disruptive. Hmm. And that, I don't know whether that was just a throwaway remark at the top of his head.
I suppose it depends on the score, doesn't it?
Well, I think you've got to start giving Van Dijk some time on the pitch, haven't you? You know,
but if there's a game to play Van Dijk, when you look at the sort of next few, Burnley and Chelsea, you know, baptism of fire, Chelsea with their quick forwards, or Burnley, which could be an absolute fight. Yeah. Or do you say, well, actually, if he is ready, by the medical team say he's good to go, then do you say, well, Norwich is probably a game where we should be a stronger side, we should have more of the ball, so it's an opportunity for him to sort of come in and play. But if I had to put my money on it, I'd personally go with Matip and Konaté, which makes sense.
Well, there's Josh Hunter's just sent a super chat in. He says, with the talk being that Konaté and Matip are starting the season, any insight to why Klopp has been starting Konaté with Gomez, which seems a bit illogical. And I think there's the problem is we've got a double-edged sword here, which you need to, some lads need minutes. So they need to get as much minutes, and obviously particularly Gomez and Van Dijk need to play because they need to get back to their level again. Konaté's new, so he needs to develop relationships. You need to develop your starting partnership relationship for the season, but also Van Dijk's not going to play 50 games this season. Mm. We're going to have to rotate the centre-half. So Konaté, it'd be nice if he'd played with everyone, and
He did play with Matip a lot early on, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have been able to play with Gomez, you know, before, because he wasn't fit.
Yeah.
So, but he will play with Gomez a little bit down the line. So when does he get to play with him, if not in pre-season?
And
of course, they're probably the future centre-back pair for Liverpool, if the truth be known.
Well, and that's interesting to be right. And the Gomez left-sided centre-half, said this for a couple of years now, is that terrific, I think he's been bred to be Van Dijk's understudy there. I think he does the covering centre-half thing really well. You know, the on-show, the bits and pieces, the tackles, doing all the running. But I think he's got the elements there to do a Van Dijk. I think his range of passing, he's done a few times in pre-season as well, which is interesting. So no, I, this is the point. Very, very interesting to see how we go. And to the point, I guess the point you've made already to some extent, I'm looking at Chelsea and going, I want Van Dijk ready for Chelsea. Yeah. But how do you get Van Dijk ready for Chelsea if he doesn't play Norwich and Burnley?
Unless the thing with Burnley is that Anfield, and that could help a lot because Norwich are a bit of a footballing team. So if you were going to gamble on who's going to have the most possession, Norwich and Burnley, Norwich away or Burnley at Anfield, you'd probably actually, sort of backtracking on my point, actually you probably would say Norwich, wouldn't you? The way they play, they like to move the ball around. Whereas Burnley, you know what it's going to be. It's route one. It's big headers. It's second balls. So, you know, it's interesting to see what Klopp does. I think one of those games, Van Dijk's got to start. I think he has to.
Burnley, Matip and Van Dijk would be perfect for the way Burnley play.
Yeah. Well, Konaté's a big lad. And he looks strong as well.
And he also, if you want to break down their defence, having those two lads at corners, would be great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, how brilliant is it that we're talking about, should we have Matip and Konaté or should we have Van Dijk or Gomez? I mean, how lovely after last season, you know.
And we're it's like this point about where I was making this about Katie the other day about how we're in a position where our squad's that good. There's lads who are worth £50 million. We don't need them to be our best players every game. Because that's not the case. That wasn't the case 10 years ago. If you bought someone for big money, they had to be the guy who dragged you to wins. They had to be essential to your side. And that's the point. We've spent £36 million on Konaté, which, you know, that 2 years ago, well, just over 2 years ago, that would have been our transfer record.
Yeah.
You know, and we might not start him this season. You know, he might be five games before he even gets a look in. He might not get a look into like the League Cup. Or, you know what I mean? It could potentially, or we could start him and we'll be absolutely sound for
it. Certainly so. Unlikely to play the bulk of games this season if Gomez and Van Dijk actually, you know, complete their recovery. Mm-hmm. So,
but it could be. You know, we could be looking at it because again, look at how we've used them. We could find that. Gomez and Van Dijk, we just rotate them. Like they're now the left side of centre halves. I'm just hypothesising, not sure this is the case because we have seen that. And Matip, because you know Van Dijk, you need to protect Van Dijk because he's the best player in the world.
And you've got to protect Matip because he's Matip.
And then all of a sudden you've got Gomez, and you say Konaté and Gomez are going to be, you know, in 3 years' time, they're probably going to be starting more games than they're not. Is this the start of that process? You're getting loads of questions.
And again, a lot of it is down to the medics and the science and all the rest of it about how you actually get Gomez and Van Dijk back to their best as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've said it loads of times, I don't think we'll see them at their best until like Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, actually the way, you know, their top game, you know, best centre-back in the world plus the best English centre-back.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a long time before we see that. And I'm hoping that they defy that and they're actually brilliant almost immediately. Yeah. But I think that's expecting.
Well, you said this about Van Dijk. It's like, you know, you've got to get back to that and you've got to test yourself and you've got to get your mind right. You know, he's got to, and it's also, and I thought the really interesting point you made on the commentary the other day is like, it's the recovery time, which we're not privy to. Van Dijk can go out there and put a worldie in, but it might take him a week to recover.
Yeah. Well, he might come off and have a swollen knee.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's got to wait till that subsides before he can train again and all. And you don't know any of that. All you see is the guy on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's why when Gomez came back after his really bad injury and he played alternately at right back with Trent, and he was terrible and the crowd got onto his back, but the crowd knew nothing about what his recovery was like.
Yeah.
They just see a guy on the pitch who's not playing as well as they want.
And there'll always be that, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, again, I've seen people doing this thing about, like, there seems to be this mad, like, negativity towards Curtis Jones from some people. Like, and some of it's not necessarily direct negativity, but it's almost like in comparison to others. And it's like, because some people, I don't know what people see things in weird ways sometimes.
His name's not Bernardo or Franco or something. That's what it is. Absolutely. His name's Curtis and he's from Liverpool.
Well, they forget that he's just out the academy, don't they? Yeah. You know, he's not like a seasoned, you know, centre mid.
No, I think he's terrific. Real shame that he's going to be missing for this one. But James Cabs asks the question via Super Chat. Who do you think will be the attacking midfielder this season, with Fabinho, Henderson and Thiago being holding midfielders naturally? See, I mean, not to pull James's comment apart, I disagree. Like, Fabinho, yes. I know Henderson's a brilliant DM. I know Thiago can do it, but I didn't think he was particularly impressive this last season doing it. Thiago is a centre mid to me, and Henderson is an attacking midfielder. He's box to box. He does his best work in the final third.
His only problem is he doesn't score enough goals as an attacking mid.
Yeah.
But he is really, really good in that role, you know, in every other respect.
His natural game is forwards.
Yeah, and if we play those three as a staple, then he's the attacking mid every time.
I think though the way the attacking mid gets caught up in there, because we all sort of envision this 4-2-3-1 with a number 10, and that's what is seen as the attacking mid. But we've never really, we tried it with Shaq, didn't we, a few times. We've never really been that side unless it's sort of break glass. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the answer to that question could be Roberto Firmino.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of someone who sits and plays the whole, but we, you know, someone said it the other day, Trent Alexander-Arnold's one of our most important forward players. He's the guy who pulls strings from right inside midfield or right back, wherever he plays these days. Thiago is unbelievable. He came on the other day and was just impeccable.
Yeah.
Henderson came on and looked like he just knew the game inside out. These guys are world class at what they do.
It's like charity matches when like world class players drop it. You have like soccer aid and actual players playing them, and that's what it was like when Henderson and Thiago came on the pitch. He's like, "Here's the ball, sat, bang, have it back, no problem. All right, I've got this, no problem."
You're Chip, like, there's outside the boots, it's unbelievable. It's like, Ronaldinho playing in the soccer aid, isn't it, with his like 20 stone extra, and he still absolutely runs. That's what it was like. It was just levels above.
Yeah, the two obviously biggest things here. I will lead into the midfield chat from there. Really, I've got to do the starting 11 prediction because Chris is still on oldie. I think it will be Fabinho, even though it's still early doors for him in terms of pre-season. Mm-hmm. I think it will be Keita because I think he's been sound, and I think it will be Ox. But I think a few people will go, no, it's got to be Elliot. Because but I think. I have no idea what you do.
I've thought all the way through watching pre-season that he was going to start with the guys who got the most time early on, which is Milner.
Keita and Elliot.
Keita and Elliot. But given what Ox did recently, I think there's a big shout for him to play that attacking role.
And that's my thinking on
and
that.
And not Harvey Elliott.
It's just the Milner thing is that I don't know whether Milner's playing DM because we had no one else to do it because Henderson and Fabinho weren't there and we literally have no one else who can do that job, and Thiago as well to that point. Is he a holding pattern for a midfield signing who can do a bit of centre mid and a bit of DM? That's the genie replacement.
Yeah.
Or are we doing to Milner what we did in Lallana's season when we won the league, where he's their choice DM, but we might only see him there for two or three games in the entire season?
I think Milner is massively a facilitator. He's played those positions exactly the same because there was no one there. I don't think we'll see Milner play unless we're rotating the side. Norwich away, first game of the Premier League season, back to normal, is not a time to rotate the side. I don't see why we can't play Fabinho. I think Naby Keita will play because I think he's supposed to be a first team player, sort of in that conversation anyway. So when he's fit and we're not selling him, he's going to play.
Yeah, yeah. And he's played reasonably well in pre-season.
He's looked sharp.
My only thing about Fabinho, and again, I don't know, I'd play him every time, but I'm not privy to what his pre-season has been like. Yeah. I know he started late like all the Brazilians. You know, is he going to be... Alisson, you can forget that. He can play any time. But, you know, Firmino and Fabinho, do we need to give them a lot more time?
Look at the three Brazilians. You play Alisson because he's your goalie. Yeah. I don't know that you need to play Firmino because Jota's there, so you don't need to play him. But Fabinho's in that weird position of, you could say, I think we could all sit here and be dead disrespectful to Norwich and go, it's only Norwich, Milner's been fine, and they could actually run riot over the midfield because, let's be honest, Milner was our fourth or fifth choice DM last season. I don't see how at 30, you know, his mid-30s, he's sort of all of a sudden stepped up to be better necessarily.
And these are going to be up for it with the crowd. Exactly. It's the thing is with the midfield, and the third one I would pick is Thiago.
Okay.
Because the midfield is an area of the pitch you can change. So I think Fabinho could probably play 90 because we got a week off and he played, I don't know how long he played through. Did he play 90, Fabinho? I can't remember.
It's a good question.
So, but he's someone in the comments tell us, but he definitely played minimum like 60, 70 minutes. So the next step for him would be 90. And he's not coming off a Van Dijk injury, is he?
No.
I think Fabinho can play. With Thiago and with Keita, if Keita's fit, he should be playing 90 anyway because he's that's where he's at. But with Thiago, why not play him for 55 minutes? Because he came on for 30 the other day. He's not had loads of football in the Euros. He's still fit. He's probably had a few weeks off.
But what we're saying, if that's the case, is that we don't have anyone who can play the defensive midfield role if Fabinho isn't playing.
Yeah.
Because if he hasn't had a full pre-season and he needs a bit more time, and I don't know whether he does or not, who are you playing? Yeah. Who's our next defensive midfield player?
No, I agree. Yeah, that's the thing. All of our options, our proper options, are either not ready or Milner.
Yeah.
And so it just depends on what we're... And I think getting the season off to a good start psychologically is too important.
Agreed.
That I think you can drop... You don't want to. And so I hope people understand my point on this. If you drop points subsequently, you've dropped points subsequently. don't start the season off by with anything less than a win. So get Fabinho in there.
That's my
thought, yeah. And again, this is my thing on Elliot. I think Elliot's been brilliant in pre-season. He's such an exciting talent. But I'm not gambling on Harvey Elliott in the first game of the season.
I think if Harvey Elliott plays, then that's a game changer for me. That means that he's a real member of the squad. Yeah. And he's going to be playing a lot of games. He won't play the whole season because he's only 18. And, you know, I don't think Klopp is daft enough to play someone like that for 50 games a season.
And you can't when you've got senior players.
Yeah, so, you know, but if he does start, then that's massive.
No, that is. And that's the interesting debate about the Oxlade-Chamberlain thing. I think if Ox hadn't put in the shift that he did on Monday, I'd probably be sat here going, no, fine, go with Elliot. I just think that, again, either way, that's a big gamble to not. I mean, look, if you put Milner in there, as much as we go Milner, oh, Rocha, Jimmy Milner, he's a fucking winger. He's a winger. He played his entire career as a winger until he came to us. I know he played a season at left back and he's done all this stuff, but we're effectively playing six wingers if we play Keita and Harvey Elliott and Milner in a team with that, which I think is. I think you do that against Burnley when they're going to show no ambition. Away at Carrow Road, 30,000 people baying for blood, all buzzing and on top because
we need control, don't we? So we need. The thing is with Ox, what I love about him is everything that I love about Ox is also potentially dangerous. So he gets the ball, drives it forward, sometimes runs into players at times. If he's doing that at Carrow Road and then the ball's getting took off, we're Norwich pinging it around, we're losing possession, we're putting ourselves under pressure. It's kind of
horses
for courses.
They play a lot faster than they did last time they came up. There's a lot more pace in the side.
The psychology of it for me works like this, and this was a bit of my opinion on how England used Foden in the summer. I think they made a mistake starting Phil Foden in the first game. I know he nearly scores in the early minutes of the first group game or whatever. But young players like that use that youthful enthusiasm off the bench. Mm. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has done enough in pre-season, you know, from being tried as a false nine, fine. But back in midfield, has looked better back in midfield, back in his role.
Back where he made his name at Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's the senior player. And I think he's shown enough to go, okay, I would trust him in that. Harvey Elliott on the bench.
Definitely.
And then you're in a position where, actually, if Ox hasn't done it, or if Ox is doing it, but you want to keep that for next week, bring Elliot on for him, and you've actually got two lads. And because I don't think pre-season wise, I don't think there was much to split them in terms of being that player.
Do you think Henderson
role?
And Thiago make the bench though? Because if they make the bench, they're coming on. I think that's where that changes that, doesn't it?
I think it's 9 subs, so I think they're probably one of them at least is probably on the bench anyway, if not both. And this is the conundrum of the Elliot stuff is we might now not see Elliot for a month. And he might then, you know, we're all buzzing with him, but he's played lots of minutes because Thiago and Henderson haven't been available for pre-season.
I mean, in terms of Thiago and Henderson, it doesn't matter if they're on the bench, does it? Because they do need game time. They might not need, or they might not be ready for 90 minutes, but they certainly need minutes when they can get the chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. But the other one then, because we're not going to find an answer to that one, I've still got to figure that out on start 11. That'll be out later today or tomorrow morning. Check that out. Costa Tsimikas, Sam? Almost the big winner alongside Elliot maybe of pre-season, where I've come out of pre-season going, okay, sound. I had no sense of him as a footballer really from last year. He almost typified everything for us last year. Gets very limited pre-season, is a meme because James Milner swears at him in pre-season, gets COVID, has injuries, gets nowhere near the side, and now, you know, but now he, you know, the Greek scouts, he's starting to become a bit of a cult figure. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing how he does in proper matches for us now.
Yeah, for me, everything that we thought we were buying, you know, Greek international, play Champions League football, it feels like we're now going to see. It feels like that's what we're getting and we've seen in pre-season. I felt a bit sorry for him last year, for being honest. Of all the things that happened, he was one of the sort of casualties, weren't he, of it all. Like, Robertson has to play every minute because of X, Y, and Z going on. And football's a funny game. It's about timing, isn't it? All things happen. Like, Elliot, you know, we have three injuries this weekend, and Elliot suddenly is a starter, a fourth choice. So Tsimikas has got this opportunity now. He's fit. He looks fit and sharp. I think now he's got an opportunity to lay a marker down to say, no, I'm going to be first choice, but you know, you can trust me now. Robbo, you can have your time off.
There'll be question marks over the defensive side, and I think that will either come with more games or it won't come because he hasn't got it.
Yeah.
We're in a position now where we're going to have to find out. I think his crossings look brilliant. I think his engine looks good. He's fast. He's performing the Robbo role really well, and what I've seen so far, that, you know, to the point that that's all we've seen, so we can really judge on. And, you know, why not?
Our fullbacks are key to the way we play football, yeah, aren't they? And it's the attacking end of the game that's most crucial to us. And he's got that. You know, he can get forward, he can beat a man, and he can cross the ball. Whether it's, you know, one the other day was first time cross, ball just came to him and straight across. Brilliant. And I'm comfortable with him. And half the time I judge players by, do they make me nervous?
Yeah.
And he doesn't, certainly not yet. He may make me nervous after a couple of
plenty
games
of time
and
watch for that.
Him. Yeah. But at the moment, I'm really quite comfortable with him coming in.
Yeah, he does. He certainly looks more Robbo than Alberto Moreno at this point. But again, it's the defensive side of things, and we can't know until he's tested, and he won't be tested until he plays in the Premier League. And he's going to have to now. And the good thing is, of course, you've got Milner there. But I like the fact that this is the point. We've got a proper left back there. And we've kept him. And, you know, all this talk like, oh, just get rid of him because he's not played. No, as you say, you can see now why. I'm made up for him. I mentioned it actually to someone in the press box the other day about how the sliding doors moments in footy, yeah, to your point, Sam. And this could be, we just don't know. We suspect what we suspect from our prior knowledge is that Robbo will get fit and come straight back in again because he's amazing, because he's as good a left back as you can get in the world.
Yeah.
But,
and he plays our left back role exactly the way it needs to be played.
But it's not, right now we're living in a world where this is not like a kid that we're giving a game to, or this is not like, you know, we're not putting Milner back in there. There's a chance. And that's all, and that's exciting. That makes him, to your earlier point about like Thiago, and that makes him like genuinely like a new signing, because he's a lad who's now going to play a bunch of games for us, and he might actually, he could be better.
Isn't it refreshing that we've got an understudy who we bought to be an understudy can come in and take Robbo's place? Last season, we lost our centre-backs. We didn't have cover.
Yeah.
We didn't have proper cover. But we've got proper cover for left-back.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got the pressure of Robbo, I think, because when you rotate it out and you've got a world-class player in front of you, you're under severe pressure to perform instantly, and that changes things. Whereas now, he knows he's got three, maybe four games of football to actually get into it, rather than just, oh, well, if I don't perform today, Robbo's back and he's brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's have a little look at the other games happening then. First week of the season, Brentford-Arsenal kicks the season off on Friday. 8 o'clock kick-off there. Like, I know the Arsenal fans are all terrified about that at this point.
I'm not surprised.
You would be, wouldn't you? I mean, there's a lot of tasty things in the end. Again, it goes back to this. My knowledge, I don't know how relevant our knowledge of these teams is from last season is relevant to any of this. So there's a bit of degree to which you have to rewind the clock a full 12 months to get a little bit of a clearer picture, because, again, you're going into this world where fans are back in stadia, et cetera, et cetera. Like Brentford-Arsenal, you could easily see that being Brentford just doing something straight off the bat.
I mean, I know we're playing Norwich, but you really don't want to be playing newly promoted sides on the first day in their own pitch.
Yeah.
You know, that's
never played Premier League as well. Yeah. That's another thing. It's huge for them, isn't it?
Exactly. My hope is that, I mean, there's a bit of like, actually not my hope. The counter hope for this is that I hope Norwich are still a bit naive. I don't think they'll be less naive this time around. Brentford's naivety might play into Arsenal's hands a little bit, where they come up and they're just lost in the whole occasion of the situation, which is why, again, I spoke to Jack Reeve of Talk Norwich City, which is on the channel, and there's an extra analysis on the RedmenTV.com right now about Norwich have got something really going for them here. You know, the champions, first game back, the first time they get to see their champions play, newly promoted, they've had this season. It was the reverse of us. We won the league and didn't get to celebrate. They got relegated.
Yeah.
And then they just got, you know, they got the best possible experience in lockdown, because at least they got to watch the best telly show going, where they won every, won every
and
week.
And they're coming up with knowledge of what it's like to play in the Premiership.
Yeah. Man United host Leeds United, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. I was speaking to a couple of Leeds fans yesterday, and they are very bullish about their chances in this one. Everyone's on Man United because of Jadon Sancho, and they've got, you know, they've got all that talent.
Have they announced for Andy, have they?
They were.
I don't think they've announced.
I think it'll be done. Whether he's available to play is a good point. But
I mean, you remember us last season when we played Leeds in the first game of the season, and they were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was 4-3, wasn't it?
They're a team I think that will flourish under that environment. And again, Man United, I think Solskjaer has been dodging bullets by not having fans in the ground over the last year as well. So that's going to be a massive game.
They've got, was it up to 9 players unavailable for the first game or something like that, with injuries and international calls? So
Leicester host Wolves. No idea. Again, you'd imagine Leicester.
Wolves might go through the floor. We just don't know. Yeah. Do we?
Chelsea Palace. You'd expect Chelsea to absolutely demolish Crystal Palace there because
they've just played 120 minutes in Belfast last night. That plays a part.
Yeah, absolutely. Watford Villa, I mean, I'd be hilarious if Villa lost that. I've not just spent £100 million on their new forwards, but we'll see. Everton Southampton. Right. Southampton should be getting relegated this season. Everton, I've got Rafa in charge. Oh my God! Yeah, like it was something. There's a show we've got a separate sponsorship coming up. Hopefully on content today. I did some stuff with involving Carragher and Neville and all that in the week. And Cara said it, like sitting back with the biggest bowl of popcorn in your life and just watching the Rafa thing at Everton develop is going to be fascinating. Burnley Brighton, I mean, that'll be telling to see in terms of what they're
doing. Brighton are actually too good for Burnley, but first game this season.
Don't score enough goals, do they? Yeah.
Newcastle, West Ham, another one you'd imagine. Well, West Ham should win because West Ham were the team on the up last year. Newcastle are still a bit all over the place. They're not spending money again. Tottenham Man City, I mentioned this, it's the final game of the weekend, 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Like, I looked at my eyes were immediately drawn to that because they are, who are City playing and is it possible for them to take points at Tottenham?
At Tottenham.
Wow. Yeah, but.
A lot of fans in there.
But like.
Harry Kane on the bench.
Yeah, half a kit on it, like one of them 50-50
scars. He doesn't know, yeah, he's like, he walks out in a plain tracksuit and whichever kit he's got on underneath. Yeah, whoever kit he's got on is who he lines up for. I mean, the problem is, I think Spurs are done. I don't think Spurs are a top four team at this point. So it's possible, and you're right, the home advantage and all that stuff might play back.
New manager. So there might be a bit of oomph to start with.
I take a draw.
We don't know
how he gets them to play.
We were going to say we don't know the system, do we?
Just don't know.
Take a draw all day and Jack Grealish skying one into the stands from in front of, you know, an open goal or something. That'd do for me there. I mentioned I've done the opposition preview with Jack Reed from Talk Norwich. He's brilliant. His channel's really good as well. That was a live I did with him on the YouTube channel. It's there for you to check out about the match specifically. But if you want a bit more rounded knowledge about Norwich to see what we're getting into, then that show is streaming exclusively on the RedmenTV.com, which is our Liverpool streaming service. So get involved with that, of course. Right, score predictions, Dad?
I think it'll be quite tight, and I think we probably will concede, so I'm going to go with 2-1 to us.
Okay, so yeah, I think we'll do well. I think we'll win 3-1. I think they've got a back post header or tapping in them at some point in the game.
Pookie.
Yeah, but I'll go with 3-1.
Oh,
yeah.
Cantwell screamer from 40 yards.
God, I'd like them to give us a game. You know, just to make it exciting, to give us a real test.
From what I've heard, they're tighter in the back now than they used to be.
But I'm more confident that I think I'm looking forward to seeing us play against low block sides, which I don't think they are, but I think they will be a little bit more pragmatic than they were the last time we played them. But I still think they've got the ability to hit us in the pace of Pookie and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of torn between the two, to be honest. I agree.
What, 2.5?
Two and a half. Yeah. On the XG, it'll be 2.5 one. So I'll go with 3-1 because I think if we can ride out that first half.
I want it to be 3-1. I'm just thinking it might be 2.
I think that first half an hour is going to be key. And I think it's going to be raucous and it's going to be all kinds of stuff. And it's how we react to being in that environment as well, because we've had some positive environments in terms of, you know, 240K crowds at Anfield. but having a 30,000 people shouting against you or something we haven't experienced, and I think that's going to take a little bit of time. They're going to come out, yeah, just if they're going to come and throw some punches, how do we handle them? And if we handle them,
yeah,
can we go back to doing what we did in the title winning season? No fuss, no stress, we're going to take the ball off you. We're going to keep the ball and we're going to build and we're going to build and we're going to build.
And Mo's going to score.
And Mo's going
to
score.
And Manic. Okay. I'm backing both to this weekend.
Absolutely. And Jota.
Oh, yeah. All three.
3-1.
So we all think Jota's playing. Yeah,
yeah, why not? Right, yes. I will be doing the starting 11 prediction on the YouTube channel, so do check that out. Do check out the stuff with Jack Reeve as well in terms of the Oppo preview. Do download the Ultimate Fan app. I just have a little look around and say it's completely free to play. You just create an account, download the app, you know, log in. And again, if you're a Redmen Picks user from last season, then you can use the same account on that. Some big prizes and, yeah, you have the chance to win and earn beer and all that kind of stuff. Get involved, basically. Check out the terms and conditions, of course. Make sure that you click the link to download it specifically from there. But that's Boss. Thank you, gents. It's been a pleasure. Cannot wait. We're going
to
be back on
nice
the watch.
To be
on.
Back.
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it? It's so good. So good to be back. Watch along coming for the game at the weekend. Hope to see you there for that. And up the Reds. Brand new season. Exciting.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.